You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Happy Monday, and happy Dingus Day to you. Since the last time we spoke, Brandon Bean added another offensive lineman to the mix, which we need to discuss here on the podcast today. There was another offensive lineman that visited that I want to touch on, and then I want to do some mock draft stuff. I really enjoyed that at the end of the last week, and so in segment two, I'm going to respond to some of the mock drafts that I recently read across the internet, and then the last segment, I'm going to do another seven-round mock draft for you, this time going with a different scenario than I did last time, right? So that's always the goal. I want to present new scenarios, introduce you to some names that I think fit, and deliver an overall picture of what I think could happen, possibly, at the end of the month. So let's start by breaking down this new offensive lineman, Jamil Douglas, now a Buffalo Bill on a one-year deal. He's 29 years old, turns 30 next February, so he just turned 29, was a fourth-round pick out of Arizona State by the Miami Dolphins in 2016. As a rookie, he played in all 16 games with six starts for the Miami Dolphins, and then his next year, 2017, he was cut midway through the season, and then he bounced around to a bunch of different practice squads, spent time with the Patriots, Falcons, Colts, the Titans, and then Tennessee's kind of where he found a bit of a home. So he stuck around with Tennessee for the remainder of 2018, and then in 2019, he actually won the starting job early in the season. He played in 15 games, had five starts, and then Nate Davis, a rookie offensive lineman from UNC Charlotte, took his job. I really liked Nate Davis and thought he was a great fit for that Tennessee team. So he held the seat warm for a little bit, and then Nate Davis took over. And then in 2020, he played in 14 games, no starts, filled the role of depth. The Titans opted not to give him a contract extension. He became a free agent, and now he's a member of the Buffalo Bills. Let's look at his physical ability going back to his combine testing. Measured in at 6'4", 304 pounds, 33 3/8-inch arms, had a 5.25 40-yard dash, that's the 63rd percentile, a 1.75 10-yard split, that's the 76th percentile, 29-inch vertical jump, 68th percentile, 99-inch broad jump, that's the 42nd percentile, 7.99 3-cone, that's the 24th percentile, 4.75 short shuttle, that's 54th percentile, and 28 reps of 225 pounds, that's the 68th percentile. So a pretty decent athlete. He's above average when it comes to the 40, the 10, the vert, the short shuttle, and bench press. He's slightly below average in the broad jump, and then he's, you know, pretty well below average when it comes to the 3-cone. But overall, the athletic package here is pretty decent. And plus, he's got over 33-inch arms, so he's got adequate length, especially for an interior player. Now, looking over Douglas' career, he spent time both at guard and center, and he's played both on the left and the right side of the line of scrimmage at guard, in addition to playing center. So you love that as a depth player, he can fill in at all three spots in the interior offensive line. And that's kind of what he's done for his career. He's been in the league for 5 years. He's played just over 1,000 snaps, 11 starts. He's reasonable depth. He's a guy that can fill in at all three of those spots on the interior. And so what's his role? Where does he fit for this Bills team? I think he's in the mix for a depth role. I don't anticipate him starting or challenging Cody Ford or challenging John Feliciano, but he can be a backup behind those players in addition to Mitch Morse. And so something else that came to mind when considering this signing, a guy that can play all spots on the interior, including center, is that Ike Bakker, who's a restricted free agent, it feels like this was a bit of a hedge against the possibility that Ike Bacher signs with another team. He's a restricted free agent. It feels like he's going to be back. But if not, at least the Bills have acquired somebody that can fill in on all the interior spots. So overall, and we got into this a bit last week, the Bills needed to find some depth on the offensive line. You know, we know who the five starters are, but when you think about the Bacher situation, you consider Jordan Devies in the mix, Ryan Bates, Bobby Hart. The Bills needed to find more depth on the offensive line, and Brandon Bean has really done a good job in recent years of stocking that cupboard full of offensive linemen that have experience in the NFL. Ever since that 2018 season, Josh Allen's first year in the NFL, Brandon Bean has been very deliberate about making sure he has experienced depth along the offensive line. And you've heard him talk about this more than once, where he feels like he let down the team in a way by not making sure he had sufficient depth on that offensive line. And he's backed that up with his actions. Every year he's had plenty of depth on the offensive line, veterans, guys with experience in the NFL. He's even been able to flip some of those guys because he's overstocked the cupboard. He's flipped Marshall Newhouse and Russell Bodine for draft picks. And he's setting himself up again this year to do that, whether that's Bobby Hart, Jamil Douglas, a player that he signs down the line, Jordan Devies in the mix. Brandon Bean is quite serious when it comes to having veteran depth along the offensive line. So in addition to signing Jamil Douglas, the Bills hosted free agent offensive tackle LaRaven Clark for a visit. And again, this signals to me that Brandon Bean is not done finding veterans and guys that can compete with each other to claim those backup jobs. You figure the Bills will keep at least 8, potentially 9 or 10 offensive linemen. And with Ty Inseki no longer in the mix, with Brian Winters no longer in the mix, Brandon Bean's got to find the right mix behind his starters to make sure he feels good about what's in place up front for Josh Allen and making sure that offense remains elite. One other quick nugget, Sean Davis, a player that the Buffalo Bills had visit, he signed with the Indianapolis Colts. He's a safety. And what's interesting about this is right now the Bills' safety depth is not great. You have your two starters, Poyer and Hyde. You've got Jaquan Johnson. You have Josh Thomas. But that safety blanket, if you will, of Dean Marlowe is not currently under contract. And so with Sean Davis now a member of the Colts, I'm starting to wonder when that signing's going to come. Because as it stands right now at safety, the starters are exceptional, but the depth, yikes. They need to get Marlowe back in the mix or find somebody that they trust that can come in and be a very reasonable third safety behind Poyer and Hyde. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football's over, but the college basketball, NBA, and NHL seasons are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, and they have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's do a little mock draft roundup. I've got a handful of mock drafts that I recently read across the internet from multiple different websites that I want to discuss and talk about the player or players that they had the Bills drafting and kind of give you my thoughts on the way I feel about these selections. So I've got one from the Draft Network, two from NFL.com, one from CBS, and two from The Athletic that I want to mention here today. Let's start with the draftnetwork.com. This week, our mock draft was written by Brentley Wiseman, one of the members of our staff. He's a former scout in the NFL with the Los Angeles Chargers, spent some time with the Patriots, and he worked for the Oregon Ducks program for a little bit. So extensive background in football. And he had the Bills drafting Georgia edge rusher Azeez Ojulari. And let me tell you, I love it. I absolutely love the pick. Ojulari is a guy that is probably going to land in my top 15 prospects for this draft. And he's a redshirt sophomore. He's young, and he's really good. I mean, pass rush acumen is there. He's got burst and bend and length off the edge. He's a guy that has a really diverse pass rush repertoire already at this point in his career. And while he's not the biggest guy, he's got great length and he's got great functional strength. And this dude absolutely plays the run. If anyone tells you that Azeez Ojulari can't play the run, they have no idea what they're talking about. They've never watched a snap of him play. Watch the Alabama game. Watch the Auburn game. This dude fights pressure with pressure. He takes on pullers. He processes quickly. He maintains his run fits. He finds the football and he finishes. I mean, seriously, pop on that Alabama tape and you will see him take on pullers and stand them up in gaps. So anybody that says Ojulari can't play the run either has no idea what they're watching on tape or is just looking at a guy that's a leaner defensive end and saying, oh, yeah, he can't play the run because he can. Super dynamic football player. On one hand, you look at Ojulari and say, I'm not sure he's a great fit for a 4-3 defense. He's probably better suited for playing in a 3-4. But if Jerry Hughes can thrive in Sean McDermott's defense, so can Azeez Ojulari. So I love this pick by Brentley. I endorse it fully. The next one, NFL.com, Adam Rank. He had the Bills drafting Clemson running back Travis Etienne. You guys know that I've warmed up to the idea. I'm more open to it than I thought I would be. I had a great discussion on the podcast a couple weeks ago with Marcel Louis Jacques from ESPN, where he really outlined his case for the Bills drafting Etienne. The more I think about this idea, the less I like it. I don't think I would be mad if Etienne was the pick, but I just can't shake the value proposition, the opportunity cost. I mean, there would have to be a pretty lengthy list of players that I would prefer over Etienne for the Bills to make him the pick and me not really raise an eyebrow at it. I would understand it. I would root for ETN to be sensational. But the more I really think about it, the less I am on board with ETN at pick 30. Again, not anything to be mad about. He would help the football team. But I would always be wondering about other players they could have drafted and the pure lack of value that comes with drafting running backs in the first round. And at the end of the day, the draft is about value. Looking at another mock draft from NFL.com, Lance Zierlein, one of my favorite draft analysts in the business, he had the Bills drafting Virginia Tech cornerback Caleb Farley. I love Caleb Farley. He is one of the 10 best prospects in the draft, in my view. The problem is injuries. Has an ACL tear recently and two back surgeries since 2019, one of them coming recently. If you throw away the injury stuff, Farley is an elite prospect. Size, length, athleticism, ball skills, coverage awareness, competitiveness. The dude has everything. I absolutely love him. I mean, one of those players that when I studied his tape last May, I texted like everybody I knew to let them know how much I loved Farley. And obviously he didn't play this year, so nothing has changed other than another back surgery. So because of the injury, it's a worthwhile conversation to have. It certainly makes me uneasy that the guy's had two back surgeries since 2019. But from a football perspective, this is an absolute dream. And you might ask yourself, well, maybe it's a swing worth taking. The Bills are picking 30. They're probably not going to be picking high in the draft for a long time. Go ahead and take a swing here and get a player that has no business being there and keep your fingers crossed that the back stuff goes away. But from a football perspective, the need at corner is high. It's a premium position, and Farley is exceptional. The next one, CBS, Jeff Kerr. He had the Bills drafting Pat Freiermuth, tight end from Penn State. Do not like this idea at all. As we've talked about several times on the podcast, tight ends are very slow developing at the NFL level, and that's because they're learning how to play offensive line and receiver. And independently, those things are difficult. Together, that's why it takes 2-3 years to get a return out of a tight end. And the Bills don't really feature tight ends in the offense. They definitely don't run much 12 personnel. And they have two guys that I like in Dawson Knox and Jacob Hollister. So I just don't see the play here. I don't understand why this would be a good idea. To be people that mock Pat Freiermuth to the Bills at number 30 overall, they load up the depth chart. They see Dawson Knox. They see that he has underwhelming production, and they make the pick. They don't understand the context of the Bills' offense. So unless they're going to turn into the Philadelphia Eagles and run 12 personnel or the Baltimore Ravens, I don't see it. I don't see that as a wise move. It's not a premium position. It's slow developing. Pat Freiermuth is a good player. I think he's a really good receiver. I don't like him as a blocker at all, especially for a guy with his measurables. Not really on board with Freiermuth at 30. Let's talk about a couple of mock drafts from Bills people over at The Athletic. Matthew Fairburn, Joe Biscaglia. Love these dudes. Really like the work that they do, and they recently did 7-round mock drafts. I want to talk about the first three picks from each of them. We'll start with Matthew Fairburn. He had the Bills going Eric Stokes, cornerback Georgia, in the first round, Brevin Jordan, tight end Miami, in the second round, and Ben Cleveland, guard from Georgia, in the third round. I really like Stokes. In the first round, he's a really talented cornerback, good size, length, athleticism, really dynamic athleticism. If the Bills want to run some man coverage, Stokes is a great target. You want to get a guy that can turn and run with the Tyreek Hills of the world, he's going to give you a chance to do it. Ben Cleveland in the third round, perfect scheme fit. He's the type of offensive lineman I can see the Bills really liking. Big, powerful, nasty. He's lacking a little bit of mobility, but this dude has unbelievable power. Wonderful third round pick, especially on the offensive line where I've talked about this a few times. On the interior, John Feliciano's on a year-to-year contract. Mitch Morse at center. There's a good chance this is his last year with the Bills. They can cut him after the year and save about $8 million in cap space. And then at left guard, Cody Ford has proven nothing at guard. He's talented. I think he can be a good starter, but we don't know. And he's entering year three. So this interior offensive line need is fairly notable. So I like the idea of using one of the early picks on a guy like Penn Cleveland. The pick that I don't like is Brevin Jordan in the second round. Brevin Jordan is extremely raw. His average depth of target at Miami was under 4 yards. This was a guy that they leaked out into space, threw him the football, and asked him to create. And he did a good job. He made some really explosive plays with the ball in his hands. But he's very unproven down the field as a receiver, has run a very limited route tree. He's not nearly as athletic as we thought he was. He didn't test well at all. And he's, again, slow developing. I think Brevin Jordan's probably 3 years away from making an impact. So that's the pick that I get hung up on. Looking at Joe Biscaglia's mock draft, he has Buffalo drafting Gregory Rousseau, defensive end, Miami in the first round, Ifeatu Melifonwu, cornerback, Syracuse in the second round, and then Quinn Meinerz, interior offensive lineman from Wisconsin Whitewater in the third round. I don't like this one as much as Matt's. Rousseau's a good player. He's extremely raw. You're probably 2 years away from seeing him make an impact. Didn't play at all in 2020, has only 1 year of production at the college level. I am nervous about him. He didn't test well, which is especially concerning considering he came in at 265 pounds at his pro day and had a year to get ready for it. I don't know. I don't get the warm fuzzies about Rousseau. Second round, Ifeatu Melifonwu, corner, Syracuse, love it. Perfect scheme fit. Love the measurables, the athleticism, the ball skills. I like everything about Melifonwu in the second round. Third round, Quinn Meinerz, the guard from Wisconsin Whitewater. Not a big fan of this pick either. I know he had a good Senior Bowl. He was reasonably good at the Senior Bowl. I don't know that he was as dynamic or dominant as many made him out to be if you go back and watch his one-on-ones. I mean, he held his own, and he had some below-average reps as well. But you go back and watch his tape in college, and I saw balance issues. I saw tightness. I didn't see consistent dominance. And from a Division III offensive lineman, I want consistent dominance. And you don't get that from his tape. I think everybody wants to find the next Ellie Marpet, who's one of the elite guards in the NFL. He plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's out of Hobart College. The Buccaneers just won the Super Bowl. Everyone's in their feelings about Ellie Marpet. I don't watch Quinn Meinerz and say, oh, yeah, that's the next Ellie Marpet there. I think he's a reasonable mid-round guard prospect, but he's not a guy that I'm willing to pound the table for. So when it comes to these two mock drafts from The Athletic, I prefer Matthew Fairburns to Joe Biscaglia, but I don't love that Brevin Jordan pick in the second round. Need to tell you guys about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the planet. They have so many amazing flavors. Some of my favorites are the cookies and cream, caramel brownie, the cookie dough chunk. I love lemon almond cheesecake. They have so many great flavors. They're all delicious, and they're covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. It's like eating a candy bar, but it's a protein bar, and it's good for you. Built Bars are great for anyone who is health conscious, whether you want to lose weight, maintain weight, or just indulge in a delicious treat. You got to try Built Bars. They're all low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and perfect for anyone that is on the keto diet. I've got a deal for you. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Well, I just got done breaking down some other mock drafts across the internet. So why don't I do my own? A little 7-round Bills mock draft for you here on the podcast to close things out here on a Monday. And I wouldn't say that this mock draft is predictive. What I want to do here with pretty much every mock draft that I do, I want to present a scenario. Last week, I presented a scenario where the Bills went wide receiver Elijah Moore with pick 30. Today, I want to show you a different path and how things could look if the Bills go defensive end in the first round. So that's what we are going to do in this scenario today. So at pick 30, I had the Bills drafting defensive end Kwity Paye from Michigan. I love Kwity Paye. 6'2", 261, 33-inch arms. He did 36 reps of 225 pounds, runs 4.52, had a 35.5-inch vertical jump. He is a freak. And he's new to the position, was a high school running back, has been playing defensive end for a few years, and the light bulb is starting to come on. The more you watch his tape, the more you see him develop, and I think he's an ascending talent with really exciting physical tools, has a cranked-up motor at all times, really good power. Like I said, he has length, and he's got good flexibility. I think this is a guy with very few limitations that I think has a really high ceiling. I don't know that he gets to 30. He did in this simulation that I did on the mock draft machine at thedraftnetwork.com, and I pulled the trigger. At pick 61, we continued helping the defensive line, this time with a defensive tackle, Tommy Togiai from Ohio State. I really like this football player. You watch him, he's an A-gap defender, so a guy that can play one technique and over the center, a very natural spot for him. Dude is super powerful at the point of attack, and I think he's got better penetration and pass rush skills than I think the box score is going to tell you. I remember watching his tape, and after I got done, I was thinking about my player comp, and I thought he was a better version of Harrison Phillips, to be honest with you. Just a better version of that player. More stout, a little bit more athleticism, same type of effort, you know, high motor type guy, but just more skill, more talent. I think he'd fit well as the backup to Star Lotulelei and the guy that can eventually replace him in the starting lineup. Keep in mind, Harrison Phillips, his contract is up after this season, and he's the primary backup to Star. And I don't love Vernon Butler as a one tech, so the Bills have a little bit of an issue here at defensive tackle. In the third round, pick number 93, I selected cornerback Benjamin St. Juste from Minnesota. 6'3", 202 pounds, just under 33-inch arms, ran 4.51 with a 4-flat short shuttle and a 6.83 3-cone. What I like about St. Juste is he's extremely competitive. Got great size, great athleticism. He's physical, and you can see a natural competitiveness about the way he plays the game. He's willing to play off contact. He's physical in coverage. He tackles. And the thing about him is he's a bit raw, right? He's still developing those coverage instincts, but the Bills have the floor set with Levi Wallace. He's the guy that you know what you're getting from Levi, and I think he's going to be the starter opposite of Trey White this year. That said, it's only a one-year deal. They can go ahead and draft St. Juste at 93, have him provide depth in year one, and groom him to be the starter in year two of his career and replace Levi Wallace in 2022. So I thought he was a toolsy corner that schematically fits, that the way he plays fits what the Bills typically gravitate towards at cornerback. And, you know, we kind of do this. We do these mock drafts, and I normally check the box at corner with my first pick or my second pick. I wanted to kind of show a scenario where if the Bills were to wait to 93, what type of player they could get and who fits and who would be in that range. And I think Benjamin St. Juste from Minnesota fits that description. So pick 161, we went with interior offensive lineman Tommy Kramer from Notre Dame, an experienced player, physical, a guy that's a mauler, you know, loves to get after guys. Not necessarily the most athletic or nimble when it comes to footwork, but he has an edge. He has a mauler's mentality, and I think he would help the Bills in the run game in particular. So a guy that they can look to as a developmental starter and have more options as the interior offensive line's long-term forecast is a bit shaky at this point. At number 174, we went with wide receiver Shai Smith from South Carolina. 5'9", 186 pounds, runs in the low 4.4s. Take everything I've told you about Elijah Moore. Wide receiver from Ole Miss, a player that I personally love. I think the Bills are going to love him. I think he's in play at pick 30. And Shai Smith is like the B version of that. So I don't think he's quite as dynamic or polished as Elijah Moore, but Shai Smith is a guy that I think has the ability to replace Cole Beasley in 2 years after that 2022 season. And I think it's smart for the Bills to kind of identify that player, go ahead and get him in the mix and develop him for that role. Super competitive dude. Again, just the B version of Elijah Moore. At 213, I went with safety Tariq Thompson from San Diego State. Really good instincts, really good ball skills, physical, always around the football, very sound when it comes to his assignments. Overall, just a really nice player. The problem is he's kind of limited athletically. If this was a better athlete, I'm sure he's a day two pick. But he's a below-average athlete, but above average when it comes to instincts, ball skills, processing, urgency, physicality, tackling. So he has limitations, but as a depth safety, a guy that you know can play on every special teams unit and would overall make you feel a little bit better about this Bills safety depth situation without Dean Marlowe in the mix. Again, Marlowe could sign and we would feel better about it, but right now I don't feel good about safety depth considering Jaquan Johnson and Josh Thomas are the only two players that are really in the mix behind Poyer and Hyde. My last pick, 236 tight end, Luke Farrell from Ohio State, 6'6", 251 pounds, does not have much production as a pass catcher under his belt at Ohio State. Part of that is because the Buckeyes are pretty averse to throwing the football to tight ends, but what he does have is a nice resume as a blocker. And I think losing Lee Smith and wanting to kind of have a guy that can be that sixth offensive lineman, block, move bodies out of the way. You can use him in pass protection as baseline ability as a receiver. I think as that tight end three option, I think he's kind of what you're looking for. So a recap on my mock draft for today, just presenting a scenario, not saying this is exactly what it will be, but just introducing some names and ideas at pick 30, defensive end Quiddy Pay from Michigan. At pick 61, defensive tackle Tommy Togiai from Ohio State. Number 93, cornerback Benjamin St. Juice from Minnesota. Pick 161, interior offensive lineman Tommy Kramer from Notre Dame. 174, we go wide receiver Shai Smith from South Carolina. 213 is safety Tariq Thompson from San Diego State. And pick 236 is tight end Luke Farrell from Ohio State. All right, folks, that'll do it for us today here on the podcast. We're going to talk more draft the rest of the week. We'll react to any news that comes our way and continue discussing Buffalo Bills football every weekday, Monday through Friday here for you on the Locked On Bills podcast. So make sure you're subscribed, rate, review, and share the podcast. And I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.